thank you so much for listening in on our chat with the kids today. And so now I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to hear from God's Word. One of our core values is God's Word in us changes us. And so Matthew chapter 20, this year we're talking about the power of a praying church. And I don't know if you believe that there's power in prayer, but I'm going to give kind of a qualification to that statement. There are some prayers that have no power in them at all. Just because you pray doesn't mean you have power from God. It doesn't mean you're going to get your answers from God. The Bible talks about prayers that can be very selfish, and that's why God isn't answering our prayers. And so just because you pray doesn't mean that God is going to work in your life. What we need to figure out as a church and as Christ followers is, how do we pray for the things that matter to God? And when the Bible says, when we pray according to His will, He answers. Okay, so how many of you want to see God answer prayer this week? Awesome. Yeah. Man, I'm going to give you a guarantee. Okay, I would say money back, but there's no money involved. So here's a guarantee for you. If you pray these four prayers that I'm going to talk about today, this week, with sincerity from your heart, with faith, I will tell you that God will answer these four prayers for you. Now, He might answer them in ways that you're not expecting, but God loves to answer prayer, especially when we're on His page praying for the things that matter to Him. Now, when I was thinking of the scripture reading for today, I thought of this passage in Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28, because sometimes, I don't know about you, but I have learned in my life how to be a Christ follower, sometimes from very good examples. And I have to tell you, I have learned how to be a Christ follower by watching some very bad examples, okay, where I said, man, I don't want to be like that. I want to be different than that. And so this is an example in Matthew 20 of a very bad example of prayer. So stand with me. Let's read God's Word. Matthew 20, beginning with verse number 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to Him with her sons, and kneeling before Him, she asked Him for something. And He said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to Him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." And Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm able to drink?" They said to Him, "We are able." And He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared from my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to Him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Father in heaven, we have so many things that we think that we want, things that we think that we need. But Lord God, I pray You'd help us today to see what really matters to You. And help us to leave this place with a greater confidence of how to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So we're going to learn four prayers to pray today that we believe in God's Word is so very clear. If you pray these four prayers, you will get the answer yes from God. The first prayer that you can pray is, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Now, that's a very interesting prayer that we find in God's Word in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. In verse 18, there is this dad that has a son and he has an unclean spirit, some kind of demon that has overtaken his life. This demon has caused him to not be able to speak as a young boy. He's not able to talk. The demon has caused him to throw himself down and he foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth. He becomes very rigid and paralyzed. In Luke chapter 9, telling us the story, he would suddenly scream out for no reason at all. We also know in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9 that this was this man's only son. Can you imagine having a boy, a girl that has such a challenge in life? And you know that there is something going on, that there's no answer from a physical, there's no answer from a medical standpoint. According to Mark 9, verse 22, the demon would even cause the boy to throw himself into the water to try to drown the boy, or throw himself into the fire to destroy the boy, according to Mark 9, 22. Let me tell you something about the enemy called the devil, the demons that follow him. Jesus said it like this in John 10, 10. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. You have an enemy that wants to take you down. He wants to steal everything good that God is wanting in your life. He's wanting to kill everything that God would want to do in your life. He's wanting to destroy everything that God has planned for your life. And so you have an enemy. And we have an enemy today. And his name is Lucifer, the devil, or Satan. And he's very real. In verse 18, this father had brought this young boy to the disciples of Jesus. I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And I don't know if you, as a Christ follower, have ever felt like this before, where you felt like a failure. You felt like you tried to do the right thing, and it didn't turn out very good. And so the disciples were asked to do a very good thing. Let's cast out this demon. And Jesus had given them power to do that, and yet they were not able to do that. In fact, literally the verb that is used is that they were not, this man is talking, and he says, your disciples were not strong enough. Okay, I want to tell you, if you try to fight the enemy in your own strength, you will fail. And then what happens, here's a thought for you. Failure brings doubt. So the more you try to be a good Christian and then you fail, then it's harder the next time to try and next time to do the right thing, because now doubt starts to grow inside of you. But I want to tell you, when you start trusting God to help you, that will bring hope. And so Jesus answered this dad in verse 19. He says, O faithless generation. So now he's not just talking to the dad. He's talking to the whole crowd of people that have gathered, and I believe even talking to his disciples and maybe to the scribes and the religious leaders that were hanging around. He says, OK, let me just tell you something. The problem here, as you're trying to deal with this son who is struggling, the problem is you have such little faith. In fact, the book of Matthew is telling the story, says, O faithless and twisted generation, or perverted generation. You see, what happens when we deviate from trusting in the Lord, something starts to happen in our thinking. Titus 1:15 describes it like this. To the unbelieving, both their minds and their consciences are defiled. So what happens is when we stop trusting in God, then now our way of thinking starts getting messed up, and our way of deciding how to live life gets messed up. A lack of faith starts to create a lack of wisdom, and then a twisted way to live. The word twisted or perverted means this is what God wanted you to do, and now you're sideways. Okay. And then Jesus asked two very difficult questions to hear. In verse 19, he says, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? He looked at these people and he said, man, you guys are hard work. Okay. I mean, I'm carrying the load of trying to help you, and your lack of faith is making this very difficult. I wonder if the Lord ever would say that to you or to me. Man, I wish I could do so much more in your life. But your lack of faith is kinking up the hose of God's power. Now track with me what Jesus was feeling. According to the context in Matthew, just before he had this conversation, he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. According to Matthew 17, 1 through 3, he brought Peter, James, and John with him, and he goes up to this place, And he experiences this glory moment. He is shining bright. He really is experiencing the glory that he had in heaven before he came down. And he's got Moses and Elijah with them, and they're just kind of loving on him. I think they're just saying, man, Jesus, you're doing a great thing. And man, we're with you. And he's getting lots of encouragement, I believe, from Moses and Elijah. And there's this glory moment he's experiencing. And now he leaves this Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down. He sees the disciples that aren't able to cast out this demon. He sees this dad who is upset with the disciples for not being able to do this. He sees the crowd of people that are not believing. And he goes, okay, I was just up here experiencing the glory and the power of God, and it's without any kinks and without any hesitations. And Moses and Elijah, and they're just... And then I come down to you guys, and it's like, and you can't believe that God could do anything. In fact, the man in verse 22 says this to Jesus: if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The disciples' inability had shaken the Father's faith in Jesus' ability. Now watch this. This is really hard to hear, I know. But when the world sees our lack of faith, then their view of Jesus gets diminished. You see, that's what happened. The dad's view of Jesus got diminished because he saw the disciples' inabilities to handle the situation. And I wonder how many times do people see my lack of faith in the way I live my life? And I call myself a Christ follower. And then their view of Jesus has just gone down because they're not very impressed when they're watching me or watching you. You see, people learn about Jesus by watching Jesus' followers. So now we got to figure this out. How do I change the view of people around me? And so Jesus gives us some insight. Verse 23. And Jesus said to them, if you can, it's like going up to this Big Mac truck and saying, do you think you can pull 5 pounds? It's like, yeah, man, no problem. Hook it up. I can do it, you know. And Jesus basically is saying, what are you talking about? Don't you know? When you're talking to Jesus, you're talking to the creator of the universe. And you're wondering whether I have the ability to handle this? If you can, all things are possible for one who believes. So faith sets no limits on God's power or ability. The problem with our lives is not that God doesn't have enough power. The problem is that we do not trust in that power. And our unbelief has caused a kink in the power of God. Okay. So let me give you some quotes from Abraham Lincoln. Faith does not wish, hope, or desire, faith receives. So as a Christ follower, we're not talking about hoping or wishing or trying harder. What we're understanding is who God is and what God has promised, and that faith is tapping into that. Okay. Faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Okay. So now I understand that God has a plan for my life, and I'm going to trust in His power. And so verse 24, the father immediately of the child cried out and said, I believe. In fact, Matthew 17 says that he falls on his knees before Jesus. I believe. Help my unbelief. Yes, Lord. Yes. Do you know that God is not upset with that prayer? For you to be honest with God and say, God, I have some faith, but God, man, I am falling short. I know what I should have. But God, would you help me grow in my faith? Would you help me believe? Because right now I'm having a hard time believing. I appreciated Tracy Sumner's thoughts on this. This is what he said. Lord, so many in this world live by that maxim, God helps those who help themselves. But you are a God who helps those who know they are helpless without you. Those who put their entire trust in you, those who know the truth of your words, without me you can do nothing. Remind me, by whatever way you see fit, to rely on you for everything I have, everything I am, everything you want me to be. And this is how Christianity works. According to Hebrews 12, verse 2, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. So this is how Christianity works. You go to the author of faith and you say, Jesus, I need some faith because I don't have it right now. And you can be very honest. The prayer of this father, help my unbelief, is in the present tense. It means I need it now and I need it continuously. I cannot go on without some faith. I don't have it right now, Lord, but I want it. And so, Lord, I'm going to look to you. And would you birth some faith in me? Would you bring that faith that I need? Because I can't trust right now. That I'm looking at the problems and I can't see the answers. And I'm looking at the issues. And maybe I'm looking at my questions that I have about life. Maybe you have some questions that you don't think that God really cares, maybe, or God really is real. And you have real questions. And so you say to God, God, I want to believe. Would you help my unbelief? Yes. And I want to tell you, if you pray this prayer, maybe you're not even a Christ follower and you're sitting in this room today. If you pray this prayer, Lord, I want to believe. Help me. And I want to tell you, God loves to answer this prayer. The disciples prayed this prayer another time in Luke 17. They said, increase our faith. So what you're doing is you're saying, I acknowledge my need before God. I'm acknowledging that I have a need to grow spiritually and I have a struggle and I'm not doing very well. God is okay with that. But you're not blaming anybody and you're not blaming God and you have no excuses. You come as you are and you say, God, help my faith to grow. Augustine said, faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. And I believe that God will answer this prayer, and then you're going to start seeing God at work in your life. You're going to start seeing God reveal himself to you. Martin Luther prayed this prayer. Behold, Lord, an empty vessel that needs to be filled. My Lord, fill it. I am weak in the faith. Strengthen me. I am cold in love. Warm me. Make me passionate that my love might go out to my neighbor. I do not have a strong and firm faith. At times I doubt and am unable to trust you altogether. Oh, Lord, help me. And I want to tell you, this is probably one of the most dominant prayers that I've prayed in my life as a Christian. How many times I've faced obstacles and I've faced situations and I have not seen how I can get through it. And so I just cry out to the Lord, help me to trust you through this. And God, it loves to answer that prayer. Number two, second prayer. Teach me. God loves the humility of a Christ follower that comes to him and says, Lord, I have so much to learn. I just don't get it. Would you teach me? We saw that with the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11:1. Lord, teach us to pray. Remember that request? And Jesus, when he heard that, he didn't say, get out of here. I'm too busy for you. No, he loves to hear you say that. If you are struggling with how to live the Christian life, and maybe you're even struggling with prayer, say, God, I want to do better with prayer. Help me. Did you know that Jesus is the greatest teacher? And he loves to teach. So the question isn't that he isn't able to teach you. The question is, are you willing to have him truly teach you? Are you willing to come to him as a child and say, God, I have prayed all my life and I kind of think I know how to pray. And, you know, and you're pretty blessed to have me pray to you, you know. Or say, God, I've been a Christian 50 years. But you know what? I know there's still some things that you could teach me about how to live for you and how to pray and how to serve you. Andrew Murray, in the book With Christ in the School of Prayer, says it like this. In spiritual matters, we do not always seek the most important things. In temporal matters, we are still less able to use the wonderful liberty our Father has given us to ask for what we need. This is very humbling. When I went to Men's Getaway with the men on Friday, I said to myself that I should fill up with gas before I leave town. And I got distracted and I'm on the freeway now going to Eastern Oregon. And I have less than half a tank. And I'm thinking, hey, no big deal. I'll get it when I get down closer to Pendleton. And then we got to Pendleton and I got distracted because we played some golf. And then I had some lunch. And then I wanted to follow the caravan heading to the camp. And I forgot to fill up gas, and I didn't notice till we were almost at the camp, about an hour outside of Pendleton, and I saw that my gas tank was on E. Okay. And I knew that I wouldn't be able to have enough to get back to the next gas station. So the first several hours with these macho men at Men's Getaway, I'm thinking, how am I going to admit to somebody that I'm almost out of gas, and is somebody around here going to help me, and how are they going to help me? And I was really debating, because that's for men to admit that you messed up. I mean, how many of you would ever do something stupid like what I did? I mean, really, you guys are so together, and you guys know everything, and you guys always take care of things I know so perfectly, and I just felt like stupid. I just really did. So I just kind of whispered to somebody I could trust. I'm a little embarrassed here, but man, I'm going to have to get some gas. I don't know if there's a lawnmower I can, you know, do some suctioning out or something. I don't know. And, you know, and I found a friend that I could trust. And the guy next to me on the other side overheard it and said, Phil, I brought up a 5-gallon can. You know, you can have all the gas you want. And I thought, now, why did I hesitate in asking that? Why did I hesitate in bringing the need up when the need was right in front of me that could be met? It was like no big deal. And I wonder how many times God is saying, I'm ready to teach you. I'm ready to help you, but I'm waiting for you to pray. Lord, would you teach me? And God has so much to share with us. But if we're not humble enough to ask him, you see, in order to get to this point, it requires several things. It requires humility. Okay? And you have to say to God, I know I don't know everything. David said that in Psalms 25, verse 9. Man, God, I've got so much to learn. It requires maybe a different focus. I want to learn what he wants to teach. You see, that's the problem. Many times we don't really care about what he's going to say because we don't want to hear it because we've already got it figured out what we want to do with our lives. And now I have to have a different focus. I've got to start thinking about what God maybe would want to share with me. It requires a priority that I'm ready in my life to get serious about learning from God, to learn from him and what he would have to teach me. It requires a heart and a mind that says, I want my heart to engage in the things that matter to God. I want the things that matter to God. Psalms 25 goes like this. David is praying, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. You see, that's a great prayer. God loves that prayer. But there's another element that usually becomes a roadblock for my life, maybe your life, is that when you pray this prayer in the Bible, this prayer always involves or includes the desire to obey. Okay? God is not really into just giving you information for information's sake. God loves to teach you to change you. Okay? God loves to teach you so that your life choices will be different. So it requires somewhere along the line in your heart the desire to obey. So Psalms 119:33 says, I want to obey. You see, that's why I want to learn. Psalms 143 says, teach me to do your will. So I want to learn so that I can do. Okay. If you have no interest in doing God's will, then he's probably not going to teach you because he doesn't share information just for the information's sake. 1 Corinthians 13 says knowledge without love puffs up. I mean, why would he do that? I mean, it's really not his priority just to give you information. But if you want to learn so that you would live differently, then he loves to teach. Another example is Matthew 11:29. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And so what he's saying is, I'm ready to teach you. Now, are you willing to line up with me and take my yoke, which means we're going somewhere. We're going to do something. Are you going to walk alongside of me? And I'll teach you, but we're going somewhere. Okay. You see, God wants to take you somewhere. He wants to take you to places and to people and to conversations. And he's going to help you. But are you willing to go where God wants you to go? Proverbs 1:5 says, let the wise hear and increase in learning. So here's an element of wisdom. I want to learn. And I want to tell you, Jeremiah 33:3, I love this verse. Call to me and I will answer you and I will answer you. How? Will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You see, God, I believe, has some great and mighty things for your life and for my life and for this church. But we have to humble ourselves and say, God, maybe we've done church the wrong way. If there's something we should do different, show us. And we're willing to do it. If there's a way that you're doing your family, you've gotten into some bad habits in your marriage or in your parenting, God, show us. We'll change our habits. We'll change the way we'll change our priorities. Show us. And we want to obey you. Prayer can open the door to insight, but then the insight needs to be followed up on. We have a part to play. My part is prayer, and his part is to teach me. So now you have to make a decision. If you're willing to get serious with God, start praying. God, I want to learn your truth, and I want to learn how to be a Christ follower. I want to be the person you created me to be. Would you teach me, and I'm ready to follow you. Henry Alford said, Lord, give us more charity, more self-denial, more likeness to you. Teach us to sacrifice our comforts to others and our likings for the sake of doing good. Make us kindly in thought, gentle in word, generous in deed. Teach us that it is better to give than to receive, better to forget ourselves than to put ourselves forward, better to minister than to be ministered to. And to you, the God of love, be all glory and praise, both now and forevermore. Jesus loves to teach his followers. If we would humble ourselves and pray this prayer. Third prayer I'd like you to think about. Help me serve. Help me to serve others. If you want a prayer that Jesus loves to hear, this is the prayer. Now, what happens, though, is we get sidetracked so often and we don't understand that he loves servants. Okay. And the disciples weren't getting it. They just thought, man, this is about power and this is about getting a position. And remember the scripture reading we read, you know, I want the right side of Jesus. You can have the left side of Jesus. And when he's on the throne, and they just wanted, they wanted something for themselves. And even the mother of the sons of Zebedee was in on it. And I know God just kind of shakes his head and goes, really? That's what really you made all this effort and you got your mom to get up and take time and interrupt the situation and say, man, I've got a request that Jesus, you've got to hear this. And Jesus is saying, come on, I love requests. What do you want? What can I do for you? I love you. Well, I'd like positions for my sons. And Jesus is going, oh, man, don't you understand? I came to serve. I came to serve. Teresa of Avila said this, how is it, my God, that you have given me this hectic, busy life when I have so little time to enjoy your presence? Throughout the day, people are waiting to speak with me, and even at meals, I have to continue talking to people about their needs and problems. During sleep itself, I'm still thinking and dreaming about the multitude of concerns that surround me, and I do all this not for my own sake, but for yours. To me, my present pattern of life is a torment. I only hope that you, for you, it is a sacrifice of love. And I know that you are constantly beside me, yet I'm usually so busy that I ignore you. If you want me to remain so busy, please force me to think about and love you, even in the midst of such hectic activity. And if you do not want me to be so busy, please release me from it, showing how others can take over my responsibility. And so we're in this treadmill of busyness and trying to do the right thing and even trying to keep people happy. And that's why we struggle with this prayer, because we think, man, if I pray this prayer, people are going to take advantage of me and I'm already too busy and I can't do anything more at the church. And what else do they want from me? And you can just kind of go crazy thinking about this prayer. And this is why most Christians don't pray this prayer. It's like, man, I don't need more stuff to do. Okay. But they miss the whole point. Because it's not about more stuff, and it's not about being busy. It's about finding what God has asked you to do for the day. Romans 1:9, this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. So this is about God, and I'm serving him. In the gospel of his Son, I've come to know God through his Son, Jesus. And Jesus has touched my life, and he's changed my life. That's what Christianity is all about. Now, look at his prayer life. That without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers. So he's praying for people. Now, what should we pray for? Well, the whole purpose of a local church, according to Ephesians 4:12, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. And the whole point of that is in verse 13 of Ephesians 4, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what we're all about here is trying to help each other be like Jesus. OK, and all of us will have a different way to do that. Now, here's Paul's challenge. He's trying to help people be like Jesus. So he prays. He says in verse 10 of Romans 1, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. So here's the prayer you pray every morning. God, you know the people I'm going to see today. I want to serve you. I want to serve them. I don't know what they need. I don't know how I'm going to make a difference. I don't know. God, I need your help here. Now, here's what he prays. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Now, the word spiritual gift is not talking about, you know, that list of gifts you can see in the New Testament. This is talking about something else. This is talking about a spiritual blessing. OK, so when you live your life as a Christ follower, remember, you want God to work in you and through you. OK, so what you're praying for is, Lord, I want to serve you today by serving others. And I don't know what it looks like. So Paul wanted to go to Rome. Not to be a tourist. Well, there's nothing wrong with being a tourist sometimes. But he was looking for people to bless with a spiritual blessing. And so he says this about his life in 2 Corinthians 12:15. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. So you start the morning. You go, God, there's a lot of things I could do today for myself. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to do some things I want to do. I'm going to do some things that I enjoy. There's nothing wrong with having an awareness of your life. There's nothing wrong with that. But Lord, would you lead me to somebody today that I could spiritually bless, that I could give a word of encouragement, that I could smile to, that I could say thank you to, that I could see their need and come alongside of them, that I could give them some hope where they have no hope. I can give them some faith where they have no faith. I can give them some maybe insight where they have lost their way. Lord God, I don't know the people I'm going to talk to today, and I don't know what they're going through, but you do. And so I'm asking of something of you to please you. It's not about trying to look good among people. Ephesians 6:6 says it's not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. God, I want to do your will, and I want to make a difference in this world, and I don't know how. And I want to tell you, if you pray this prayer, God will give you a way to do it. Okay? Because, man, he loves it when people want to be servants. Now, this is not about glory, and it's not about somebody recognizing you. Matter of fact, you might do something and nobody has a clue that you just did it. And that's okay. We were having Bible study at the Denny's every Wednesday. I teach Bible study at 6:30 in the morning at the Denny's on the highway, in the bar there at Denny's. And we have about 30 men that come every Wednesday. And it was a great blessing a few weeks ago where all the men are lining up and they're trying to pay for their breakfast. And one of the men had ahead of time talked to the waitress and had paid everybody's breakfast. It was fantastic. What a great blessing. And I was ticked because I hadn't ordered any breakfast that morning. So I told the guys, next time you're paying for everybody, tell us ahead of time, man. I want to get in on that. You know, I'm just teasing. Not really. Anyway. And I thought, wow, that man got up that morning and said, you know what? I'm going to that Bible study and I'm going to see how I can bless those men. And what a great concept of life. Let me give you one last thought here. One last prayer. And Lord, give me words. I need boldness and I need some words to say for your kingdom. And so we know God's plan for Christ followers. Acts 1:8, you're going to receive power. And the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. By the way, in the church, when we talk about power, we're not talking about a political power. We're not talking about organizational power. We're not talking about physical domination. We're not trying to take over the world organizationally or politically. What he's talking about is a spiritual power to change lives. Okay, and so God promises he's going to give you power. He's going to give me power. It's the Holy Spirit coming into your life so that you can be a witness. So you can testify, so you can make a difference. How many of you this morning would like some Holy Spirit power? Okay. Amen. Man. So now let me give you some good news. The Holy Spirit indwells every Christ follower. According to 1 Corinthians 12:13, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in your life. The Holy Spirit can give you power to say no to temptation. When you're struggling with the wrong choices, you can call out to God and the Holy Spirit will help you with that. The Bible says you can walk in the flesh or you can walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, there's power over sin. You can have power to see truth of God's Word. So you can open up the Bible. And if you call out to the God that created this truth and helped us, He'll help you understand. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. You'll have power to serve God. You'll have power to speak up for God. So when you're thinking about how to serve, there's going to be times where it's going to involve you using your words. And you're going to need some help. I know I need help. This Friday, I was asked to do a funeral for Anita's brother, youngest brother that passed away, age 54. And so my wife and I are going to drive up to Spokane on Friday. And the brother's wife does not know God. She's very proud atheist. And so she asked me, trying to be nice to the family, she said, you know, you're a pastor and everything, and you do that church thing and everything. So would you come and do that church thing, you know, at the funeral, you know? And I felt so blessed that she would at least give me that opportunity. And now I'm praying because I have no idea what to say to a group of people that predominantly do not believe in God. And they don't believe in church, and they don't believe in the Bible. And so this prayer, I am going to be praying this week, God, give me words to say.
You'll be praying too,
Beth. Amen. Thank you. So now let me just jump to the end of this. Verse 31, Acts chapter 4. When the early church prayed... By the way, prayer is the conduit for power from God. The place where they gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, to be filled with the Spirit is a command upon every Christian. Ephesians 5:18 is a command to every Christian to be filled with the Spirit. It's a present tense command, which means continuously my lifestyle should reflect a filling of the Spirit in my life. And guess what happened? And they continue to speak the Word of God with boldness. So what I need is not only words, but I need boldness. Okay. And boldness is not I'm better than you. And boldness is not I'm right and you're wrong and you better just, you know, get used to that. Boldness is it's not you talking. It's God talking through you. Okay. And it's the authority of God Himself. And it's not because of your smartness. It's not because you have all the answers to everything. It's because you're letting God speak through you. And boldness is the result of the Holy Spirit overflowing your life. That's all it is. And so we pray. Let's jump to that very last slide here. Four prayers that please Jesus. Help my unbelief. I got a need for my faith to grow. How about you guys? So, Lord, help me. I want my faith to grow. I want you to teach me, Lord. There's some things I know I'm not doing the way I should do, and I need to do it different, and I want you to teach me. And I got to be real careful with this next phrase. There isn't an old dog in this room that can't learn some new tricks. And I'm speaking to myself, really. Help me serve and give me words and boldness. So would you pray these four prayers silently as you bow right now with me? Father, I cry out to you. I have questions about life and how things are done. And there is areas of faith that I know I have hesitated in trusting you. And Lord, I don't want that. I believe in you. Would you help my unbelief? Would you increase my faith, Lord God, that I could see you at work and trust your power? Even the impossibilities that are around us, Lord God, I trust in your power. Lord, help me. Help my faith to grow. Help me to learn the things you want me to learn so I could obey you more fully. And Lord God, I want to serve you. And I want to be a servant. So show me what that looks like this week. Maybe it's to serve a spouse or kids or grandkids or neighbors or maybe somebody I don't even know. And you're going to bring them to my life this week, Lord. Help me to be that servant. And God, would you please give me words to say and a boldness that can only come from you, Lord, because I want to make a difference for you. Lord, help me. If you're in this room and you do not know Jesus, I want to tell you, he's not mad at you for your struggles or your questions or your unbelief. He's just waiting for you to cry out to him. He wants to come into your life and he wants to help you. Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith. He will help you with your faith journey. So we thank you, Lord God. Amen. It's our tradition.